All right, time to dive into today's 5 at 5, brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's talk Georgia and LSU. Dogs heading to the Bayou this Saturday. What is the path to victory for Georgia? What are the things that they really need to do well to come out of there and be victorious?
I think the big basics there: blocking, tackling, physicality have to be at its best. I think the turnovers, a couple of those little passes that Georgia's maybe dropped out that were a little bit scary. Say, oh boy, a better team could have picked those off. That's a type of play LSU could make. But you can't go into a game like this scared. Usually in a game like this, it comes down to who can run the football better. And because that means you're playing good run defense and you're able to get some plays and then set up the play action game. I think if Georgia does have some success running, as talented as LSU's defense is, and you hit on it, Chris, I mean, White and Williams, if they're not the two best defensive players in the SEC, they're certainly on the short list. I still feel like Jake Fromm can have some success throwing off a play action, and Justin Fields. That guy's a tremendous linebacker.
Yeah, he's an eraser of what look like they're going to be bigger gains than – he's like Roquan Smith last year.
And Zach Cunningham the year before that, yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, you watch some LSU games. I was watching a couple times last week against Florida. You'd look like, oh, the Gators have the edge right there. This is about to be a nice run. And Devin White would come in and be like a one-yard gain.
And those great linebackers – they have all the physical tools and the instincts, and they play their assignments, and they know when to leave, and they know the proper angles to take. And that's what Roquan was so good at. He naturally knew all the right angles, and he didn't miss tackles. And this Devin White doesn't miss tackles either. So, I mean, I'm telling you, Georgia's backs are going to get popped Saturday like they hadn't gotten popped this year, and that stadium's going to be loud. But I think Georgia can withstand the push. Both of these teams are really good on special teams. You got Hot Rod and Cole Tracy. And I think it's a very even game. I think top to bottom, Georgia's got a little bit more talent. I think it's going to be a really, really close game, a 2 or 3 point game.
I think it'll be tight. I think – right now, I'm leaning for Georgia by a little bit more than that, but I mean, my lean right now would honestly be to lay the points with Georgia being favored there. But I also, you know, other than maybe my bias creeping in, that number is about where I think the game will probably end up. So I don't think that there's a huge edge one way or another. I mean, the thing to do is what apparently a lot of the professionals have been doing, because that line has been bouncing back and forth across that key number of 7 all week to 6.5 and 7.5. So I could see Georgia winning by exactly 7 points.
I'll take that.
To make those guys happy. Yes, and then Georgia will have proven itself
yes.
worthy of its elite ranking, currently number 2. You know, to go back to a quick thought on the Vanderbilt game last week, too, and, you know, with George having to face Greedy Williams, I mean, this is, without question, a game featuring the top 2 cornerbacks
mm-hmm.
in the SEC. Is, you know, a week ago, Vanderbilt had a receiver, Kalijah Lipscomb, who has 45 catches this year and 6 touchdowns. He had 2 last week,
mm-hmm.
and we know why.
He's an eraser.
Yeah, because number 18 was covering him. He had 2 catches for 16 yards. The guy's got 45 catches this year and 6 touchdowns, but he came to Athens and was not even a factor.
This might be a game for Georgia to win. The defense might need to score a touchdown Saturday.
That'd be nice. We haven't had one in 2 weeks now, right?
Right.
Yeah, we didn't get a nod against Tennessee. No, we got a weird touchdown against Tennessee, but I guess technically it wasn't a knot.
Right.
Even though it was a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
This team's got 4 knots this year. So hopefully get another one. So that White, though, really worries me. And he's the type of play, like you said, Chris, he's just, you know, like Baker in coverage and Greedy Williams in coverage, he's just an eraser. And you can do everything right. You can have it blocked right. The back can be making the right cut. And this guy just – goes over. I mean, even going back, think about Zach Cunningham in 2016 when Vandy beat us here. That hole opened up for McKenzie. I mean, I can remember initially, I'm like, oh my gosh, he might score. Then it was, whoa.
He didn't even get a yard.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. Right. And that's the type of player Devin White is. It's what Roquan is or was and still is, only now for the Bears. Hopefully he won't be Sunday, though, when they go down to play the Dolphins.
That is the position, like, you know me, I'm a tailback guy. You can just see a great tailback. You can see it in the great ones. It's that it factor. A great inside linebacker, that's the comparable defensive position there.
Where you know it.
You can just see, like, that guy can play.
Yeah.
And that Devin White, he can play. I mean, he will be a high draft choice for someone this year.
How worried should we be about some of the absentees on the
worried
on the defensive line?
Worried. It's going to be a physical game. You need all hands on deck. Luckily, as you said, Chris, when it comes to the next man up, Georgia does have men. As opposed to, you know, maybe sometimes in years past we wouldn't have had the depth. But, I mean, we could still run two or three lines out there. Now, it's not ideal because, you know, David Marshall, that guy's a frontline player. I mean, Hawkins has had an excellent career. You know, Devontae Wyatt's a very good young player. You'd rather obviously have those guys. But Georgia still has enough for at least this Saturday.
Well, this is where, you know, it's key that Georgia did get this Jay Hayes to transfer
no
here.
No doubt.
You know, so at least you got another body to throw out there that could potentially have some type of an impact. But, you know, to this point, he's played, but he hasn't been the devastating run stopper that it looked like maybe he could have been coming out of Notre Dame.
But, you know, it's midpoint of the regular season now, so let's see if some stuff's starting to click. He's played on the nose some in passing situations, so let's see now if he's playing more of that true end. If we see a little bit more of him on Saturday, I think he's going to have a good day on Saturday. And also, what do you think about our man, big number 99? You think we might see some more of him? He made a couple of big plays.
I mean, he's going to have to play more now.
And you can tell Kirby when he really likes him. You know, he's saying, well, he's got to continue getting into shape. You know, needs to lose a little bit of weight. But, I mean, that is a big body who can move people. And it's a deal. Like, if you see a guy like Ben Cleveland, Isaiah Wilson, Jordan Davis, Georgia's got a really big football team. When you see a guy like that who's noticeably bigger than the other guys, he's real big.
Yeah, I mean, the only downside is it doesn't fit our diabolical plan of just unleashing him against Tech.
Enemy.
I mean, now he is going to be put on film, so Paul Johnson will be aware of him.
As
instead of just, like, letting him watch all of Georgia's tape all year and then show up that Saturday of that game and, like, hey, wait a second, who's this 99? Plugging up the middle there.
6'6", 330.
That's ready to just, like, pancake your quarterback.
I'm getting really worried about those guys.
Oh, my God. They're awful.
They've got Duke's number. They play Duke.
I thought Duke beat them. Like, didn't Duke beat them last year, though?
I thought they usually beat Duke.
They did, but Duke Duke beat them 43-20 last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, Duke.
And Duke is off a bye and also already beat Army this year, so they've seen the offense.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Tech is awful.
All right.
Yeah. Listen, Tech is still in a position where they've got three games circled that they figure, like, we've got to win those so we can get to a bowl game. North Carolina, Virginia, and this game against Duke. Although the Jackets do, they actually have a pretty decent history in Blacksburg,
They? It's strange. They always play a good game, Tech and Virginia Tech.
In fact, the last time they went to Yeah, the last two times they've been to Virginia Tech, they've won. They beat them there in 2016, and then they beat them there in 2014.
So in 2014, Virginia Tech beat Ohio State and lost to Tech.
Yes. Although Tech was good that year, too.
Yes,
they won
were.
11 games.
Yeah, they did.
So, oh, was one of them? Yeah, never
yeah,
mind.
They did. Nice that. Squib kick. Just that was not good.
All right, moving on to the 5-5. Now that we're halfway through the season, Jeff, who for this Georgia team do you want to say, you know, at this point, they've been fine or whatever, but moving on these next 6 weeks or six games over 7 weeks, who needs to step it up now?
Well, listen, obviously that groin injury was holding him back, but I think we saw number 7 start to get unleashed last week.
All right, so he's going on notice.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, like, he's been good, but when he came out and said that he had a groin injury, it was like, okay, that makes sense. And he had a couple of plays last week that certainly certainly look good.
And well, last week was the first time he averaged 7 yards a carry last week.
And he caught that 35-yard pass. Because I'm telling you, too, the week before against Tennessee, on our second possession, Fromm dumped that ball out to him. It was a little bit low. He couldn't pull it in. That would have been a touchdown.
That was open.
Completely blocked, and it just didn't hit. So he's been close. And on the defense, Chris, I'm just going to go with those veterans on the defensive line. We saw Tyler Clark make the big play, but let's get Ledbetter, Rochester, Clark. Get some TFLs going. Get a little bit more penetration up front.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Georgia's really – I mean, the Dogs rank 124th in their havoc rate. So that's talking about, you know, stuffing runs – pressuring the quarterback. But, I mean, the Dogs really have – and I think that's contributed to the idea. I mean, Georgia's defense has been very bend but don't break this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it started up front where that D-line has been, I mean, underwhelming to this point this season. And, if they can get better up front – I mean, Georgia's defense has been fine.
Oh, yeah.
But, teams have been able to move the ball against them.
I think, too, some of what Georgia's been doing – with the youth in the secondary is kind of keeping everybody in front of you. You don't want to gamble as much.
Right. They don't want to give up the big plays and mission accomplished there.
Right. But I think now as Georgia gets more and more comfortable with Campbell and with LeCount getting settled in there at safety, I mean, guys like Mark Webb is coming in and making some big plays when you're going to that nickel, that you might see Georgia – maybe roll the dice a little bit more up front.
Well, we've also faced Bentley, Locke.
That's a very good quarterback.
Some of the better quarterbacks. I mean, Burrow is kind of wacky where his numbers don't blow you away, but he's been effective, and prior to last week he wasn't turning the ball
That's
over.
Right.
And he's got
to,
he can run too.
You gotta
keep an eye out for that.
So you got to set that edge and stay home.
Yeah. I mean Felipe Franks he's not great, but you can tell like under Dan Mullen's thumb.
No, he's gotten a lot better.
He is. He's a much different quarterback than he was a year ago. You know, Terry Wilson at Kentucky is
– he's been a fine for them. For
yeah,
sure.
I mean, after that first game when they had started already nicknamed him up in Lexington, turnover Terry, he's been better. Got sacked a bunch last week, but I don't put that on him. Benny Snell stopped involved in the offense. Third down and two in overtime. Let's pass, okay? You're going to get sacked.
You've got the best player you've had in a decade.
Yeah, we won't use him there. Good news for Mark Stoops is with that kind of like judgment, there are about 30 NFL teams that would love to have him.
Hey, that guy's a hot commodity.
This guy is just the type. Hey, will you punt from your opponent's side of the field in overtime? Absolutely. You're hired.
With one of the best backs in the league.
And offensive lines.
The best offensive line.
How much do you
and
want?
A quarterback
yeah.
you can run.
How much do you want per year? Name your price.
I'll take it. Let me ask you this. For a college, of the quarterbacks Georgia's faced, Browning, Locke, Garantano, Shermer. I don't know why I called him Shermer.
Wait, who is Browning?
What's the kid's name at South Carolina?
Bentley.
Bentley, I'm okay. Sorry. Didn't we know a guy named Jake Browning? Does that sound familiar? He might have been a baseball prospect.
Isn't that – that's Washington's quarterback.
That's him.
Yeah.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second.
Excuse me. Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. So out of Jake Bentley – I knew that didn't sound right. Out of Bentley, Locke, Garantano, Shermer, like if you had a really good college team like Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, and needed one of those guys to play quarterback for you, who would you pick?
I would take Locke. Yeah. I mean, even though he's not looked good the last 2 weeks, but, I mean, he faced a Georgia defense that was pretty much hell-bent on preventing him from doing any damage against them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Hall played in that game, but he's obviously hurt. Now he is.
Yeah,
he is out. He hadn't played since then. He got hurt in the game against Purdue, was not healthy against Georgia, and he ain't going to play at Alabama Saturday night. Prayers to Missouri. But, yeah, I would take Locke over those guys. You know, they're talking in South Carolina now that
I know that
they might they might have a little quarterback.
He played good.
Yeah. Bentley might be getting sacked up there.
Well, and I think it's one of those deals. Bentley kind of came on 2 years ago. He was a savior. They had the good year last year, and then once they lost their second game this year, so it's time to move on. I'm taking in this day and age with the social media and everything, the 3 to 4 year starting quarterback, I don't care how good he is, he's going to start getting some criticism. It's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it is. It's the whoever the backup quarterback is the most popular guy. But so, I mean, yeah, that kid was Skarnecchia.
I almost called him J.P. Saltalamacchia.
Yeah. Well, he was threw for 249 yards and three touchdowns the other day.
And South Carolina's got good wide receivers. Do you like them against A&M, or do you think the Aggies go on the road and win?
I kind of like South Carolina.
I do, too. I think they've got a little second
Aggies,
win.
Though, do have their number. They've beaten them four straight.
Aggies have got South Carolina and Arkansas's number.
Well, having Arkansas's number ain't that hard.
No, they have not been good. Problem for A&M, they can't beat the Mississippi schools.
No, yeah. Have they played them?
No, neither one yet.
Yeah, not yet. So, that's one of Jimbo's tasks this year. I mean, they definitely better beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, and that's in College Station.
You know, I guess Mississippi State would be forgivable if they lose that game.
Although they're coming off an open date, and State will be at LSU the week before.
Jeff, Georgia is headed to LSU Saturday. Before the season started, I think everybody had Ed Orgeron as the head coach in the country who was on the hottest seat. That is no longer the case. So who has replaced Ed Orgeron? Who is now sitting on college football's hot seat?
I'm going to try and give you – I'm kind of flipping through the team by team here, see if anybody jumps out at you. You had so many major jobs open this year. You've got a lot of first-year coaches. I don't know if anything is scorching. So I'm going to give you a first-year hot seat, Willie Taggart at Florida State. Do you count Bobby Petrino as a major job? It almost seems like he wants to get fired.
Well, I think he's the answer. And it sounds like that's one of those deals where it's just he's got some absurd buyout.
$14 million.
Yeah.
And so if he gets fired, they have to pay him that.
Right. So,
which whoever negotiated that contract, shame on you.
Well, it's that Tom Jurich guy who's not even there anymore because he went down with the Rick Pitino scandal.
Actually, let me jump. I'm going to stay in the ACC and go over that. Larry Fedora.
So you'd put him hotter than
Petrino? Yeah. They're pretty bad.
Yeah, they're bad.
And just a couple, like, they were good when they came. I mean, they had Trubisky, they had Elijah Hood. Who was that other back? That guy's in the NFL.
Well, they had that Ryan Switzer.
Yeah.
Who's now.
He scored a long. Did he run the kickoff back against us? He had a long play.
He would have been. Yeah, he might have because he did special teams. I think he's also he's the guy that was open when Maurice Smith came and batted that ball away.
And who was that? What was that back's name, like PK or TJ Young or something? You know who I'm talking about? He was fast.
Yeah. Like watching that, I remember like that game where Elijah Hood got all the preseason hype, but I remember thinking that guy looks better than Hood. I remember them taking a timeout and then calling a screen pass
in
their end zone. That resulted, as it should have, in a safety.
It's so funny how it goes. I'm telling you, Chris, had Missouri beaten South Carolina, they're not going to make a move there. They just went 9-4. I think it would have gotten a little toasty for Muschamp because, again, you take away that run that Spurrier had. South Carolina with expectations, a different animal than when they come in the weeds.
Well, yeah, and I think that's Muschamp's career in general, even at Florida when they had that one good year and then all of a sudden they had expectations. Like, all right, Florida, we're back. This guy's going to be a good hire. And then they were losing to Georgia Southern.
And we did a great job all week not talking, which is fine. That's great. And, I mean, I get it. It's always tough over there, and our history certainly shows that. But, I mean, the amount they were talking this week, that week, and then, you know, for a couple of their media types, you know, that's got nothing to do with the football team. We say, oh, here are five areas where South Carolina is clearly better than Georgia. Like, okay, thank you. Just keep saying stuff like that.
One of those was, by the way, was that quarterback. One of those quarterbacks did not play last week, and the other one still is.
Yes.
All right, Jeff, moving on in the 5 at 5, the NFL, what is the matchup of the week?
Time
The game that must be watched. You got Kansas City going to New England on Sunday night.
That's probably it.
That is not it.
Hang on, I got to pull up the stupid schedule. Give me a second. Give me a second.
How about Seattle and Oakland in London?
Talk about a time zone difference there.
Yeah, both of those teams.
Because that'll be
flying all the way around the world.
Yeah, so that'll be 8. All right, let's see. Oh, here it is. Philly and the Giants. I'm just kidding.
That's tomorrow night.
Here's a great one. Arizona. I'm just kidding. The Chargers at Cleveland.
Boom, you nailed it.
Can the Chargers get vengeance there?
You nailed it, though. Phillip Rivers, Baker Mayfield, come on.
Here's a bad
game. That game's going to be a blast.
Colts at Jets.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Pittsburgh kind of must.
Those two teams met in a Super Bowl once.
God, they sure did. Good Lord. And a big Super Bowl, number three.
Yeah, a famous one.
Yeah, they did. Tampa, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Cincy. I'll watch the Rams at Denver. Jacksonville needs to win at Dallas.
How about that Monday night dog, though? San Francisco at Green Bay.
Unless Joe Montana's coming back, I got no interest there. So I'm with you. I think Chargers, Cleveland early. And the late game, I would say Rams at Denver. And then, yeah, Kansas City at New England. Kansas City's had New England's number.
That's a good Sunday nighter. Yeah, I mean, Kansas City blew them out a year ago on that opening Thursday night.
Boy, that's a bad – so who's starting at quarterback for San Francisco?
C.J. Beathard. Yeah. Former Iowa, not standout.
Yeah, when we were talking about him the other day, I was like, well, wait a minute. Who's he playing for? Oh, yeah, the Niners.
The Niners.
Can they get back Blaine Gabbert?
He might still be there, too. Well, no, they have they have A.J. McCarron now. Don't they?
The Niners?
Yeah.
Why isn't he playing?
He's no C.J. Beathard.
No, he's not.
I mean, imagine how good Alabama would have been if they'd had C.J. Beathard instead of A.J. McCarron all those years.
What would Catherine Webb do?
All right. Finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5-5 with the Falcons. The Falcons are 1-4.
Yeah, they're
this
dead.
We know. What will Atlanta's record be over their next 5 games?
All right, read off the schedule, too.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
New York Giants.
Yeah.
At Washington,
yeah.
At Cleveland, home Dallas.
I think they go 3-2 there.
All right. That's generous.
So 4-6.
4-6 after 10 games. They're looking at a high end of finishing 8-8 then.
Yes.
Yeah. Best case.
Honestly, that schedule there, if all those injured defenders could magically come back, they could sweep that. That is not a hard stretch.
I think if all those injured defenders were already there, they'd be four and one instead of one and four.
I agree.
All right, that's today's 5-5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.